We are more and more forced to go for faster decisions. And that means also to leave the territory, how you do business and what you prepare for. I think the most critical one and that moves me most is really climate change. And we have to prepare for that, and we have also to take over responsibility.
Do you feel ready?
I feel ready.
Perfect.
Perfect. Then let's start. A warm welcome to Elementary, our BASF podcast, who wants to make chemistry tangible for everyone. For those of you who haven't listened to us so far, we will shortly introduce ourselves. And I'm sitting here in our podcast studio with my wonderful podcast co-host, Jan, and he works for digitalization and trainings at our communication department.
You just listened to the voice of Mona. She is social media manager at BASF. And we already had some episodes around electromobility. We had an episode around the science in the coffee cup. And we also took a look at battery materials. But today we have a very special episode for us, not only because it's the first episode in English, but also because we have our very special guest, Martin Brudermüller, the CEO of BASF.
Hi.
Hi, Martin. Welcome to our podcast and thank you so much for spending some of your valuable time for us so we can have a little chat today.
Pleasure. I'm curious too.
So let's directly jump into the episode with our first question. And Martin, today you are our guest and you will answer to our questions. But if you were a podcast host yourself, and if you would have one free wish, who would you like to invite, if dead or alive, for a little chat?
Well, I think if I would be host, I would have a long list of people who I would like to talk to. But if I have to decide for one, I would take Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. Because this is a person that always surprises me. What you can read and hear about him. I think I'm quite energetic, but I think this guy is incredibly energetic. And he has so many ideas and is creative, also provocative, I have to say. So I would really like to talk to him and learn how he sees things in the world.
So Mona, another one on our guest list.
Yes.
Elon, if you're listening to that, that's an invite. All right. So for many of you out there listening to us, there is no introduction of Martin needed, but some of you might not know him quite well. So now we would like to have some quick answers, quick questions, so we get to know Martin a little bit better.
Yes, but before we start, we just want to thank our social media community. They were very engaged and already asked some questions beforehand. We need to be honest here, we cannot involve all of them, but we'll try our best to involve as much as possible. And I would say, Jan, do you want to start with the first quick question?
Of course, this is quick questions, quick answers. So, Martin, do you listen to podcasts yourself?
Sometimes. It's usually a question of time, so you have to focus on the content, and that's what I usually do when I'm driving alone in the car, then I listen to a podcast.
And now, very interesting question, I think. What did you want to be when you were young?
Well, that might surprise you. Definitely not a chemist, actually a surgeon. That was always fascinating for me because I like to work with my hands and brain. And that is, I think, a very unique combination if you are doing operations.
Okay.
Cool.
Do you have a role model, either personal or professional?
Actually, not one role model. I met a lot of people where I would say I took parts of them. I said, basically, this is something I like or I would like to do the same way. But it's not one person I would like to copy. And I'm very thankful that I had many encounters with people who made me rich and improve my style and the focus in my life.
And now this question is a question, of course, we need to ask when we are working at BASF. What excites you most about chemistry?
Well, that's simple. You can build the universe with it.
Great
that's
answer.
A good answer, yeah.
So maybe the next one is more complex. What three characteristics should a BASF CEO definitely have?
Well, I mean, if you really want to survive in that, I think a long list of traits is good. But if you have to, if you ask me to focus on three, I would say it's being authentic, it's being empathic, and believe me, very robust.
And now this was a question also from our social media community. How do you approach important decisions?
Well, I mean, first of all, I depend very much on my experience and knowledge. I mean, if you are in the company for more than 33 years, most of the topics don't come the first time to your desk. So you have a history with it. You have formal decisions which you can build on. That's one part. The second part is, believe it or not, if you are that old as me, you have also guts. So you have a feeling about what is right and wrong. And then I think the third element, which is a very important one, you talk to the people who know about that. And we have very big amount of great experts in the company for almost everything. And before we take, I take important decisions, I usually talk to people who can really update me. And I then trust also the people about their judgment.
You have a PhD in chemistry. So do you sometimes think about wanting to work in a laboratory again?
Well, I mean, that's where I started. But to be very honest, I don't want to go back to the laboratory. I still have my passion and my interest in innovation. Definitely, I always love to go there and see what our people have created, kind of new stuff. But there are so many exciting new topics in my bucket of tasks that I have to say they are back actually what drives me today. So that's why I don't really want to go back to lab, but still interested in it.
And last but not least, one of our favorite questions from the community. Do you get recognized on the street like a celebrity?
Well, I don't would call myself a VIP, but actually you can imagine if you walk through Mannheim, where I live, then there are a lot of people from BASF, and you can see on the other side of the street that one tells the spouse and says, look, this guy, and I know they talk about me and obviously they recognized me. And what was pretty amazing in the corona times when I had my mask on and was with my family over there, one jumped over the street and wanted to have a selfie. So I said, you even recognize me with the mask. So, but people are very, I would say they respect my privacy also. So they talk about it, but don't approach me too often. And what I enjoyed very much when I lived in Hong Kong 10 years, I was a nobody. So I could go on the street and was just a person like everyone else. And I really, really enjoyed that.
No selfie time.
No selfie time.
But now you're used to selfies, I would say.
Absolutely. Sometimes I make also selfie with some people I'm with. With John Kerry, I had the pleasure to sit next to him at the breakfast. And I just grabbed my phone. And I know him for quite some years already. Not the first time I talked to him. But that's why he also smiled very much. And you get nice photos. So.
True.
Yeah, so Martin is on LinkedIn. We are going to put his LinkedIn account in the show notes. So if you are not following him, you can do it
right now. Yeah.
All right, so this was quick questions, quick answers. And now let's switch gear for a moment and come to a more general point of view. So it's quite hard for lots of people right now to think positively. But from what we hear from you, you are a notorious optimist. So can you name just some reasons why to be optimistic right now for 2021 and the next month ahead?
Well, I mean, first of all, my life experience, I would say it never helps to be negative. So if you are really having a positive attitude and you think positive, and you certainly have to think through different scenarios, and they are not all the time only positive, but you should always target a positive outcome of whatever is ahead of you. And I think that helps also to tune to really get there. And my experience was that when you plan and you think about that, you can also make a lot of that happen. So what gives people, let's say, reason to be optimistic today? I mean, I think we all had together incredibly difficult time during Corona. I mean, not only business-wise and home office, but also a lot of private challenges. On the other hand, I think that gives good reason to say we come back somehow to a more normal life. And I think that should, and this is also what I feel, put out energy of people. And I think there will be an enormous drive now that people want to go back to normal. They want to meet people. They want to travel. And also certainly in business life, a lot of people lost their business, lost their basis of life. They want to have that back. And I think there is now an enormous energy unfolding. And I think we feel that also currently in the business environment. And, you know, also BASF is doing fairly well in the last months. So, and I think this gives good reason to be optimistic about the future. Maybe it looks a little bit different. We talk about that, but it will be a good future.
I think some motivating words for us and for our listeners.
Words to live by.
Yeah. So even if you are an optimist, are there also issues you are at the moment concerned about? And where would you see the biggest challenges for BASF within the next years?
I mean, if you look in the world today, I mean, there is a lot of challenges going on in all kinds of dimensions. And what is somehow concerning with an incredible speed, it is very difficult to follow up. I mean, you know, our industry, our company, we take usually decisions, we prepare decisions, we have then execution time, and then we build assets or plants or take business decisions that have then a long-lasting impact. We are more and more forced to go for faster decisions. And that means also to leave the territory, how you do business and what you prepare for. I think the most critical one and that moves me most is really climate change. I mean, if you look on that, there are still people deny it, but I think we all feel it from weather and a lot of impacts. I could talk a long time now about that very passionately. But I think it is simply fact. And we have to prepare for that. And we have also to take over responsibility. And actually, a company like BASF that has its strong footprint, to move that rather quickly is a real challenge, I have to say. And I think we have done well over the recent years where we are. We maybe talk about that more in detail later. But that is something where you can also feel from our own people, but also customers and also society, they are not used to these quick changes. But we are forced to change quickly. So that is something which sometimes make me really think, what is the best way, how we can do that, and how we can take people with us, because we cannot do that without people. So I think that's just one challenge. There are many more, but maybe let's stay with that, because I think this is the most crucial one for going forward.
And we are going to have a chat on that later on also, especially. So keep the passion you just mentioned on, yeah, on this topic. Yeah, Mona and I, we recognize that you are longer in this company since 1988 than we are alive, Mona and myself.
That's
so
crazy.
You have quite some insights. So how have you perceived this company's development in the recent years?
So first of all, when I read about that question, I was rather shocked at how actually old I am.
Well, we are very young. Maybe yeah, you can keep it this way.
That's a good way to look. This is positive and optimistic thinking. Well, but what that means is also I'm 33 years with the company, and I followed the development of the company. And I have to say, we have done a lot of things right. Otherwise, the company would not be there and would not still be the leading company in the chemical industry. We would have lost that position. But on the other hand, we have also to acknowledge that we need more speed in change. We need there also more courage. And what comes from that also as a consequence is, and that's maybe the biggest problem we had in the past, we were not growing fast enough as a company. And if you cannot differentiate so easily anymore, it's also clear your growth rate is more similar to others. So that's why we have changed this also with the update in the corporate strategy. And what we can see now over the recent months, and maybe 1.5 years, I can even say, that really growth accelerated in BASF. And that puts us really in a good position also for the future. What we also need, and this comes with this need for differentiation, we have to step up our innovation. We are good. It's the largest innovation machine in the industry. We have a R&D group here. Basically, 1 out of 10 in BASF is in R&D. That's pretty unique. And also in number of people and also the budget of 2 billion is really unique in our industry. But we have to be very clear, we have to get more out of that money. And that also means we have to change a bit how we do R&D. We were very much on our own, doing everything alone. So, and I think we have to realize as a company all over innovation, but also in other topics, that we have actually to partner much more. I think we have to work more in an ecosystem. We have to combine our traits and our, let's say, competences with those of others. and with this being faster and also getting more out of it. So it is a little bit a mental shift from this, we can do everything alone, to be part of an ecosystem. So we could have done that a little bit faster in the past, but I think it's not too late, and we are in a good way here going forward. So run a little bit faster as a company, and with that, I think we are still well positioned. Nevertheless, I have to say the chemical business is not that simple and easy anymore like it was in the past.
Would be boring.
That's true.
Absolutely.
So now from a more general point of view, let's briefly look at the chemical industry in Europe. So you have been nominated as president of the European Chemical Industry Council, the short-term CIFIC, in October 2020. And I'm very sure that many people outside of BASF or outside of the chemical industry have never heard of CIFIC before. So can you explain in a nutshell what are your tasks as president and what does this specific role mean to you?
So yeah, CIFIC is actually the Association for the Chemical Industry in Europe. It is a very strong organization, has a very good reputation in Brussels. I think it's a good sign. It's not known everywhere and making headlines, but it is impacting with deep knowledge and people who know what they talk about. So actually now with the Green Deal ahead of us, which is a significant change in basically everything concerning our life going forward, how we live, how we work, what are priorities in Europe, it will have a strong, strong impact on the European chemical industry. And this is also why the people then asked me, would you take over presidency for 2 years? Because it's a principle of rotating presidency. So I took over in October last year, and it will last then until October 22. Because BASF has this leading role in our industry. And with this, I said, okay, I'm going to take over that responsibility. And with this, we have also the opportunity as BASF to give some guidance on how we respond to these challenges. And let me say, the challenges are, I think, unique for the chemical industry in Europe. We all know we have this so-called twin transition, which is everyone has to get digital and low CO2. But our industry has another twin transition, which makes it a double twin transition, because we have to go circular in the same moment and low tox. And with this, we have four dimensions of change. Will cost a lot of money, will be very fast, and I think it has the potential to jeopardize the existence of our industry going forward. And this is why we need a constructive role. We are definitely supporting the Green Deal. There's no question. I think the overall targets are very understandable. But we have to find ways how actually this industry can contribute to the success of the Green Deal on one hand, but also keeping its competitiveness globally. So and this is why I took over this role. And you can imagine that takes a lot of my time. It's about at least a quarter of my time, if not a one-third, going forward. And it's a lot of time you need for talking to people, to politicians, but also to peers and to scientists, and actually designing what is the right way going forward to cater to the targets which are lying there, out there with the Green Deal. Mm-hmm. So that is about what that job will request from me.
So very important, but also challenging position. Yeah.
Would say so.
Yeah. So the Green Deal is a great keyword. You just mentioned that. And what do you think, what's the future of the chemical industry and thus also of BASF in Europe look like? So what are the demands of customers and the society as a whole? You just mentioned there are some expectations and it's quite challenging. So what, maybe in a nutshell, what is the impact of the Green Deal? Are there benefits, downsides? How do you perceive that?
I mean, as I said, we have these fourfold changes requested on us, which will be challenging because it is a lot of money. And on the other hand, also requests partly time for that. We should also not forget that the chemical industry is crucial for making the Green Deal a success because it is actually the products and the solutions of the chemical industry which allow society and also our customers to reduce their CO2 footprint. This is also what the European community acknowledges. And we should also not forget, because you talked also about the European chemical industry as such, it's the fourth largest industry in Europe. With more than 1.2 million people directly working in the industry. And it has a trade surplus with the rest of the world of 40 billion euro every year. So that means it is a strong pillar of the industrial ecosystem here in Europe. And that is definitely something which we have to maintain, not only for reaching the targets, but also for maintaining the wealth for the people. And that will be the challenge on one hand, to cater and to support this movement into a different setup with the Green Deal, but keeping our competitiveness and generating additional value and wealth for people. And that is the opportunity that comes with it, because change also means new. And if you are staying optimistic, then you should also believe that there is innovation, and innovation can change in the way that we have new solutions, new products that help actually to go on that journey in a successful way. And I would say, by looking at BASF very particularly, as we are strong in innovation, that is a unique opportunity also to build up new markets, new businesses, new business models. And we have to now keep the balance between the challenge and then and the opportunities.
We already talked about the climate change and the climate protection before, and we could already listen to your engagement and motivation for this topic. So I would suggest we go a little bit deeper here, because also our social media community was very interested to learn more about our ambitious net zero target for 2050. That means we want to achieve net zero emissions by 2050, and our community was very interested to learn more about how do we want to achieve this target? What do we have to do for it?
I mean, first of all, let me quickly comment on this target, because some people think it's a totally new target, because we started in 2018 by saying we want to be carbon neutral until 2030. So what is the difference between the old and the new target? It is actually the same path we have, but it is an acceleration of investments and technology development. We have actually made great progress faster than we thought. And with this, we have the opportunity, some of the key investments to contribute to CO2 reduction, to actually accelerate them, which were planned beyond 2030, could come now before. And with that, contribute already at 2030. And with this, we are able to achieve this significant reduction. How did we achieve that? Actually, we have invested several years in the so-called carbon management. I brought together this circle in 2017, the first time, and I brought out the challenge actually to really understand ourselves, where is the CO2, what could be levers to reduce. And I have to say, I think we understood ourselves so well that from a technology point of view, I think we are very clear how to get rid of our CO2 almost entirely. I would say there is at the very end, something which is maybe creating a bit headache, because it is very, very expensive. But I would say I'm also relaxed on that, because the first miles are the important one. What actually we can do now quickly until 2030. And I would say the last miles, I leave that to my successor of my successor, who has then to take decisions in 2045, he or she, whoever. And for that reason, we should not take too much time to think about that one. And so I'm really happy that the BASF team, and I'm very proud of the team, has, I think, generated a unique understanding in our industry. I doubt whether there's any other chemical company who knows so well about how to do that. We have a unique technology portfolio. We have also the courage now to apply. It's a tough target, I have to say, but it's also a realistic target we can achieve. And, you know, BASF never promised something which is out of way. It will be exhausting to get there, but we can do that. And so with this, I think we have also got a lot of credit now in the world outside politics, but also in society. And what I like very much with our own people, I get a lot of mails who tell me that they are very proud about what's happening in BASF. And as the challenges are big, we need the support also from politicians and also from the society. And I think having a clear plan, being credible, that helps a lot to also get them there in the end.
And you already mentioned the carbon management program we have. We had an extra episode in the past with Andreas Bode. So if you are interested to learn more, you can have a look at this episode as well.
I don't know whether he told you about our first meeting.
No.
Because when we actually got together, he was also sitting on the table. It was about 20 people, and it was not hierarchy, but it was specialists from BASF. And when they listened for the first time, I looked into this round, and I think, they were close to ask for an ambulance to bring me to hospital because they thought the CEO is mad. What is he actually asking for? That's not possible. And if I think about that first meeting and where we are today, it shows also what a tremendous change we made. Mm. And now I think the community of also the experts who maybe started that journey by saying that can never work, they are actually converted and now contributing with incredible new creative ideas. And that is generating somehow a new strength and energy in BASF. And I'm quite sure we will make something out of that in the way that BASF will differentiate in the future from others in this industry.
Yeah, I know there are some chemist versus engineer jokes, but this example shows that both can work together well.
Absolutely.
So, Andreas, when you listen to that, everything's fine. And yeah, this episode with Andreas Bode is on German only, but maybe it's interesting for some of you out there. Just take a look at our channel. Yeah, Martin, personal question. I imagine before the lockdown, you also traveled a lot. And how does this jet set CEO life go well together or credibly go together with saving the climate?
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine, particularly these 10 years I've spent in Hong Kong. Great time. I really miss it. From 2006 to basically 2015, I was traveling incredibly much. If I take this almost 10 years, I slept every 10th night over 10 years in the airplane. So if I take the time I spend in lounges and in the plane, it's just incredible. If I think today about what we did there, I ask myself sometimes, first of all, was that necessary? And sometimes I ask myself, how you do that physically? Because you switch through the time zones. And I think what we all learned from Corona now and is that if you think about that, you would never do the same way. I mean, we were flying to a conference from Frankfurt to Beijing for 2 days to meet some people and talk and listen to some presentations where you would come to the conclusion today, it's not worth it. You can also do it digitally. Once in a while, you have to meet key people. That is clear. You can also not do business and develop new ideas only on the screen. But you would combine that much more. You would say, I don't travel 10 times. I maybe travel 2 times and stay 2 days longer and actually squeeze that together. So for that reason, I'm also very happy that basically the encouragement of the last year in Corona times, and it's actually the same learning with my counterparts, because you cannot just say, I'm not traveling if the other one expects that you come. So, but if also the other side says, you don't have to come, we know each other well, we can do on the phone or we can do on the WebEx, then this is helpful. So yes, if I look at that, I had a tremendous personal CO2 carbon footprint. And if you are serious, you have also to question your own lifestyle, I think, and your behaviors and what you do and what you don't. And that is a good example of how you can adapt, and I think how the world will adapt in doing business. You hear from a lot of companies, they all will not go back to the old pattern. And I think it's a good example what we said at the beginning about optimism and about positive thinking. The world can be different from what we are used, but it's maybe better than today.
So there will be some changes also after the pandemic.
Absolutely. I think in all categories, how you do business, what you prioritize, and also what the demand of the society is. There'll be a lot of change. And actually, it's good because standstill is always bad. If you have standstill, people get complacent and comfortable. And with that, you lose also dynamics, you lose energy, and you lose competitiveness. So running, and sometimes even running a little bit faster, is good for everyone.
You already mentioned that we all can look at our own lifestyle. So to make this topic more tangible, do you have some specific tips or advices for our listeners, how we can all by ourselves help to make the world a little bit more sustainable?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's your personal question. If you are critical with yourself, you have to ask yourself, is that really needed what I do, or can I change and contribute myself? And I think at the very end, if it should work, everyone has to contribute. So, I mean, you can also ask, is it necessary to go for a weekend to Mallorca for 39 euro a flight? Is that really what is necessary? Should people stay always at home and not go for vacation anymore? I think it's the other extreme. But you can think about that. I, for example, bought an electric car. So I really changed in that way. And I have to say, if you drive it, you are, maybe you should not say that in Corona times, but you are infected. It's a lot of fun, I have to say, and huge acceleration. It's smooth. It's no noise. It's quite fascinating. I was also very critical at the beginning, but I really much, very much enjoy it.
Yeah, we hope the car has some BASF battery materials. We also have an episode on that, and we learned about the performance and quality of that.
Actually, I'm not revealing what car it is, and yeah. I asked them, and they said they don't tell me.
Okay. Yeah. So for all the German listeners, there's also an episode on battery materials out there. So Martin, let's switch gears because we received on social media lots of questions more on the personal field. So let's learn about some personal notes about yourself. What are the most important lessons you learned during your career and would you like to pass on to, for example, younger colleagues or tips to others?
You can imagine I get this question often and I got it often and it's not easy to answer it because you can talk a long time about it. But what guided me? I mean, first of all, I think you have to be very disciplined in what you do and how you design what you actually do and structure your life. I always felt it is important to be authentic and honest. I have seen situations where people were not honest, but they were usually after sometimes also stumbling over their own feet. So I would say everyone, a lie comes back to you. So for that reason, go for what is really needed and what is the obvious. I would even say, because people ask me about career, I would say in most of the cases, what is good for the company is good for yourself. And we have seen all that. There were careers, I would say, they have been on the cost of company. But the good careers are in sync with the company. What I always think is you have to challenge yourself very clearly, but you should rather promise and over-deliver than the other way around. And I think these traits, which I also mentioned earlier, that you have to be authentic and you have to be honest. I think you have to be consistent as a person. But what is also interesting now, looking back at my 33 years in BASF, the request from society, from the own people in BASF, but from customers in terms of leadership changed a lot. So you have to adapt your leadership style to also the time where you are in. I would say a leader today, a successful leader today, has to be totally different than 20 years ago. And this is also why it is important that we also update ourselves. We have now the initiative of the upskilling of the senior executives. We quite invest some time and effort over there because it's about lifelong learning. And this is, I think, another message I would like to give. Never stand still. Have always the ambition that you are eager to learn something new which you don't know and to adapt to these times and to adapt your own style. Don't think you are ever ready and I made it and that's it. You have always to improve and to work on yourself. So that's maybe a few hints I would like to give to young people.
Yep. As we are already talking about tips and advices, do you have some tips for our parents who are listening to us today, how they can combine their career and being a parent? I mean, you are a father of four, so can you share some tips on how to balance career and private family life?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a huge challenge. Yes, I have four children. I have actually two times twins. To correct that, I have two twins at the age of 25 and two twins at the age of one. So I got through that very successfully one time and I start all over. So that means I have today the same challenge as 25 years ago. And you have to organize yourself. I mean, it is a 24/7 challenge, very clear. I mean, we all know that. I mean, the first thing that helps, I have to say, I don't need much sleep. If I have 5 hours a day, it's fine, which makes things easy because you have a little bit more space to maneuver. I, for example, get up very early, most of the time 5. And then also on the weekend, and maybe not 5, but 6, then I work 2 or 3 hours before family wake up. And then I have my duties with my kids. And so I could already handle quite a bit for the company, for example. But what I think you have to do is you have to organize yourself and structure. I think you have also to to draw some red lines. And the red lines have to be both for the company part as well as for the private part. And that is not one size fits all. That is which caters to the situation in your family, also with your partner, how you do that. And I give you one red line I had in the past when I raised my first two kids. And that was actually that I said, at 7 o'clock, I'm at home and there's dinner time. And I did not allow much to disturb that. You can imagine there were some situations with the business or when I'm traveling, I was not at home. But at a normal day from office, I was sitting in almost every day at 7 o'clock at the dinner table. And then we have family time. It did not matter to me to return to mail from whatever 10 to midnight. But I needed these few hours where I said, this is my quality time with the family. And I think if you structure and you define that way, which caters to the needs you have, then I think you can manage the balance. And I always was inspired from both sides. So the energy I got from family life helped me on the business part. On the other hand, a successful business life gives you also energy and good feeling, which you then can invest in the private side. So I think it is very much that you have to be clear and transparent and structure that with your partner.
Yeah, this was actually one of our next questions on the list. Where do you get your energy from? Mm-hmm. Or how do you cope with stress? So there might be some people also who say, 5 hours, that's not the right amount of sleep. I, for myself, need, I would say, more like 7.
So, me too.
Yeah. So are there any other tips you have for others how to cope with stress or besides the family, some energy and motivation sources?
I mean, first of all, I have to say I'm a person who actually doesn't feel much stressed. So it is not a feeling that is accompanying me day by day. Even if it's very tough and I have a full agenda and maybe also some decisions, they don't keep me sleepless at night. And I think one reason for that is I learned, maybe I have also traits, but I learned to separate things and to structure. I can read board files, very focused. Then I drop the pen. Then I go with my kids and my wife shopping. I don't think a second about BSF. And when I come home and I sit down again and continue where I left, I'm focused on BSF again. And by having this opportunity to actually switch off, I can also unload the pressure. And this is why I actually don't allow much to build up that stress. I think you have to learn yourself what are the means to do that. I think it's a little bit of training. As my father taught me when I was young, he always said, you have to know the buttons you have to push in life when you are not in good mood. And that helps. And it is actually something I passed on to my kids. They do this. We have, for example, one is cooking. I love eating and cooking. So if I go to the kitchen and I create something and I eat and it tastes well, I feel good. It brings back energy. My kids do the same. And so they always say, I learn what my button is. But you have to learn what button that is for you. So I think that really helped me to cater with stress and not allowing that to make me sick or taking all my energy away. And then the other part about the energy is I have to say, I drove my environment nuts as long as I'm on that earth. Already in family, my parents, they always said, does this guy anytime get tired? So I stressed my environment with my energy. I know about that. And that is maybe something where I can be very grateful. It looks like that's a trait I got somehow by nature. That certainly drives me and also is an opportunity for creativity and to take moments to think about something new. And then the new idea makes you even more excited and it's charging your battery. So it's a kind of a little bit also resonance, I would say. It gives you also energy and certainly sometimes takes energy. But yeah, that's the way how I do it. And that was my whole life like this.
Yeah, and we learned your dad is a studied scientist as well. So maybe he passed on some spark to you to get this energy for chemistry.
He was a physicist and he also nurtured very early the curiosity about science.
I totally agree with the cooking time as relaxing time. It's the same for me.
But for me, it's the eating time more.
And Our social media community was also very interested to learn more about any of your hobbies, your leisure activities. So if the lockdown restrictions are eased, is there something you are really looking forward to do? And was there also something you missed during the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, first about the hobbies. I mean, there, you can imagine what we talked about. On one hand, family and father and CEO of BSF. It's not so much time left for other things. I mean, I have a long list what I love to do, but I don't have the time for it. So my major hobby is really my family and so certainly also a circle of friends. And that is also what I actually missed. I mean, now with Corona, you have all of us have been disciplined. You every day is about the same. You go home and you have to stay home. And certainly it's nice if you have a nice home. Then this is less a prison than you live in a small flat. That is even more challenging, I would say. But what I really missed is the interaction and the encounters with my friends. Go out for a dinner and then have good talk and laughing and talking about good old stories and whatever. So that is something I miss. And then also traveling, not the business part, but certainly also with the family to get some relaxation over there. That is where I'm really looking for. Like, I think it's very basic what every one of us likes.
True.
So I have some idea, and I have certainly, as every one of us, some hope for the summer that we really get a little bit more back to normal, which allows for that.
Yeah, so, we hope so.
Yeah. So your first activity would be to book a table and go to a restaurant.
Yeah, I think so. My wife actually asked already, where do we go? I have to say, the first one actually was on the weekend because I was for a walk with my kids and in the Palatinate. So we went into one of these typical basic Palatinate restaurants. The terrace was open. It was since, I think, 12 months the first time I've been in a restaurant, and I enjoyed it very much.
Perfect. Wonderful.
We hope there's more of that to come. And we need to slowly wrap up today's podcast. And you are the CEO of one of the largest chemical companies in the world. You are like succeeding in lots of things. So one can say you have already achieved everything in your life what you could aim for. But is there anything you still want to achieve in your business life or your private life?
And perhaps also in other words, what do you want your legacy to be like?
Yeah, that's a very big question. I mean, first of all, let me really say I'm extremely thankful about what I have been offered in my life. And a big thank to that goes to BSF. Because BSF is 33 years of my 60 years life, so it's more than 50% of my life here. And I regard my job today as a privilege. And my attitude is I serve the company and the people in the company. So having the opportunity to give direction and moving the company in the direction it has a good future, that's what we currently do with all the climate change we have discussed, that is a big task. And I mean, if you ask me what the legacy is, and I think this is the legacy of every CEO, you want to hand over the company in better condition than you got it. And if I say better, then this means also, let's say, more adapted to what it needs to have for a good future. And I think the current part is really all the issues of sustainability. We only talked about climate change, but there's many other things which come with sustainability. And that is really my target now, the time I have left here in the company with, that I really get the company on a path where I would say it's no way to return. And that we have also established main means that we are really successful. And as I said, we maybe over-deliver what we promised. So that is what I want to do on the business side. On the private side, I mean, you can imagine I have a longer list of things I could not do over the last 20 or 30 years, which I would like to do. But on the other hand, I have to tell you, small kids, and it was a decision I took deliberately. I rather go to educate and raise two kids and make valuable persons out of them than focusing too much of myself, I have to say. And interesting thing is also, if you have two adult kids and they are having really become great, I mean, they have their master's degrees, they go now for their PhDs. So I want to repeat that one more time. Let's see whether I can succeed. But I will also know what we talked earlier about, the education of my young ones will be a different one. because we are living in different times. So in that respect, I have also a private list, but maybe also at that point, let me say, and this was catering a little bit to the question on what it takes as a CEO and what you recommend. I mean, if you come in a position like mine as a CEO, you are a privileged and VIP person. That means you have also to take care that in this period of time where you have this position, you are not carried away to have a lifestyle that is totally apart from reality. So I always looked, and my kids helped me on that, and my friends, to stay a normal person. And one day when that is over here, I have to become a normal person again. That means I don't have the fast track on the airport. I have to stand in line to check in as everyone else. And I know I don't have a problem with this. And at a certain point, I wanted to tell you, with all the, let's say, privilege to meet great people and take decisions, and even you have a lot of energy, there comes also a day where you say, okay, now I have to hand over to someone who is capable, company is in good shape, and I can take a little bit more focus on myself and stepping back into a more normal life. And at one point, I would say that is also what has to come, and I'm prepared for that. And I think this is the most important thing. If you know that one day that comes, cannot tell you exactly when that will be, but you have to prepare yourself.
But I think you already have some great targets ahead than for your private life as well.
Absolutely.
So the time flew by. I think we could have sit here with you for hours, but of course we want to be respectful for your time as well. So thank you, Martin, that you participate at our podcast today. It was a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you. It was really great.
Thank you. And for all of you listening to this, we are very curious to learn more about your feedback. Just drop us a mail, elementary@bsf.com, or just post on the social media podcast post. We would like to learn more. And you'll find further helpful links and resources in the show notes. And stay tuned on our social media for further English episodes for that. So please subscribe in case you haven't done already. So with that, take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.